What was the general reaction of your introduction to the squad you were becoming a part of?
When we boarded a helicopter, though, there was five guys per helicopter, plus the two door gunners and the two pilots, okay? The two outside guys sat with their butt on the helicopter bed, and your feet were outside the door. There wasn't any handrails, there wasn't anything to hold on to. The guy in the middle stayed in the middle, but his weapon was always turned down because you didn't want the weapon to go off and hit the rotor blades up above. When you landed, you had 5 seconds to get off because the next helicopter was right behind, and you had to get in and out in a hurry. Well, I got off, and this captain come out of the bush, and I always remember he's in the book that he's got on the table here. His name is Captain Ben Peters, and he got the Silver Star on Ripcord. But he had water dripping down his nose and everything like that. We got into the nighttime perimeter that they had set up, and says, we were told by that platoon lieutenant, your platoon is over on that other hillside, and you've got to go over there. Well, we had no machetes to cut the jungle trail. We had to go down a hill, go across a stream, and then go up the other side through triple canopy just by breaking it down by ourselves and get to our platoon that was there. So we did that, and we got in there, and we were basically called cherries, okay? We were the rookies, whatever you want. We smelled different than the people out in the field. We learned that you had to change your clothes once every 30 days. Imagine you wearing your same clothes for 30 days and not changing them, not having a shower for 30 days unless it rained or you came across a stream where you could clean up. I mean, you were ripe. And, you know, so we were there, and we were assigned into a squad. Since I was 6'4", I was given the rappelling rope to carry. Always, the new guys always got the heavy stuff to carry, and the old guys got lighter. We pulled some guard duty outside, outside the perimeter at night, and two of us, and I can remember a scorpion that I saw that night, and we were set out maybe 50 meters from the main thing, just protecting our trail we had cut. And real life woke me up when we took a break. I was slack man for the point. The guy was cutting a trail. I was his eyes and ears. And in Vietnam, we were told we weren't supposed to chamber around. You were a fool if you didn't. We took a break. I sat down this huge rock, and all of a sudden I felt something crawling in my back, and I jumped. It was a lizard, and everybody's kind of laughing a little bit and everything like that, but what we learned that there was all kinds of animals and other stuff that weren't poisonous or whatever else, but that were out there. But you were treated basically as a new person, as pretty as hail's cherry, unless you try to fit in. When we got CA, that's Combat Assault, they picked us up and they took us into Firebase Rakasan, Fire Support Base Rakasan, which was a hilltop that was leveled off, and they put all artillery up there, and then they had an infantry company usually doing the perimeter, and they rotated them every couple weeks. And there were 6 of us in a bunker. The bunker was just wide enough for me to lay down in and tall enough for me to sit up in. And if you're claustrophobic, it's pretty tight because everybody had to take a turn of guard duty, so the first guy back here, every time he changed, he had to crawl over 5 guys to get to the back because everybody shifted to the front. And you had a little hole to crawl out of to try and keep the, if you were fragged or whatever else, that it wouldn't go in and get everybody, you know, in a small kill zone. And I got out of there and went up and asked the lieutenant if there was someplace else I could stay because of the tightness of the quarters. He says, yeah. So I checked out the bunker, but there was rats in there bigger than life. And I decided to go back to where I was. At least there was people. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, kind of noticed... caught the notice of somebody in the company CP because as we were lifted on the rocket side, one of the guys carrying one of the radio secure sets, one of the important security things, left it on the LZ. So they had to send a special team back to get it, and they were lucky to find it. So they asked me if I was willing, would be willing to carry a radio, and I saw the headquarters where they were bunked in, and they had regular bunk beds and all this other stuff, but that was nice. I said, okay. Well, in June of 2000, I learned that from the Captain Jensen that they actually did shoot radio operators first. I didn't realize that. Getting back in the field, well, when it got dark, it was quiet. Any little snap of the twigs, any change in the animal life or anything like that, you know, was very, you know, you got in tune to the slightest movement or sound. And now just think, just if you close your eyes and you can't really see much further than what you can reach, 3 foot was about, and you were green, matching in with foliage. Every night we dug a bunker or a foxhole to go in, and we had our little jar of mosquito repellent, which could work good for leeches. And you know, you took turns, usually three guys to a hole. You know, so you were on three, you know, it was 8 hours a night or whatever else, you were on 2.5 hours, and the next night was on 2.5. And you were the eyes and ears of people. You know, you were, if you fell asleep, you could wipe out the whole unit.
So, like, they say a lot of times when you have a secured perimeter like that, they would put out maybe wiring with cans on it or something that would make some sort of noise if something came through. Was there anything?
As an infantry unit, we didn't have that. We put out our claymores and set our trip wires with our claymores, put the blasting cap in the claymore. He came back, and he was strung the wire across the trail, and you put a plastic spoon in between the metal contacts over on the other side of the device that's going to, when the plastic spoon was pulled, it would blow the claymore. And so in the morning when you went out to get your claymore, you always had to make sure that it wasn't booby trapped by the other side. And we had, if this was our perimeter, we had nighttime defensive fire, artillery fire, 100 meters within 100 meters all the way around us every night.
So getting into the booby traps thing, was there, they say the Vietnamese would use punji pits, or they would have, I don't know what you would call it, with kind of spring out, like a trapdoor or something?
We didn't really see those. What we saw were more like mortar rounds that were tripwires across the street, the thing, TNT blasting, you know, TNT dynamite with a blasting cap, shaped charges, anywhere from a small one to a large one. Basically, anything that they could booby trap. They even used, to keep the batteries from getting wet or like that, they used, so I like to say it, rubbers. And, you know, prophylactics as we know it, but it was kind of funny. If you had an old battery from your radio, you made sure that you wired it up to explode it, because they would use anything that was left which had a little bit of a charge. And we were, as a unit, we were lucky in fact that when we hit a booby trap, we had it where half a mortar round would go off, the blasting cap would go off, but not the TNT. People had their pants like shredded, had minor wounds versus losing limbs and everything like that. We did lose Gilbert Ruff on the 23rd of February. He stepped on an 8-inch artillery round, and we never found anything of him. There was a 10-foot deep hole, 20 feet wide. Just absolutely blew it away. And that was, nobody else got hurt in that. It just, shrapnel started up in the trees about 10 feet up. It was quite an explosion that morning. And Gilbert was supposed to take the job that I had, but he turned it down to stay in the second platoon.
What was the reasoning behind staying in the
second platoon? Well, he was with his friends. He had been there all the time, and that's why he wanted to stay with
camaraderie, them. You knew how people worked.
Yep.
So getting in with the enemy forces improvising like this, would you say, or the forces you dealt with, would they be Viet Cong or would they be NVA regulars? More so?
Probably 25% Viet Cong and 75% NVA. especially when we went up north along the DMZ and out toward Quezon. They had the best of everything up north. And I got some pictures and like that you'll see and like that. They had the brand new weapons and the uniforms, and we were lucky. You know, you think about time. It wasn't my time over there, otherwise I wouldn't have been here talking to you.